worship team, as I said, y'all stay close. We'll be right back on this in just a couple minutes. In the movie, the last one of however many hundred that have been released, but in the movie, The Legend of Tarzan, there are two very spiritual scenes in this movie. We got it for the kid, the kids, and they watch it and like it, and of course I dig that stuff too. And have you seen it? Okay. I know you're a movie guy. In two different scenes in this movie, one with Samuel Jackson and the other one is in Margot Robbie. They are in the jungle in the Congo, and they are entering into the kingdom of the gorillas, if you will. And Tarzan's brother that was raised, he's a gorilla, he was raised, he is the lord of this kingdom. And as they enter into this, Tarzan and Samuel Jackson are entering through on purpose to get to this point to where he can rescue Margot Robbie and all of this stuff in an expedient way. And he said, the quickest way is to go through this kingdom. And as they enter in, Samuel Jackson's got this gun. And he's being all, I'm going to defend myself and I'm going to be all, you know, bowed up and all of this stuff. And Tarzan says, put the gun down. He says, put the gun down. He said, if you kill one, the rest of them will tear you apart before. But he said, put the gun down. He said, bow before him and reveal your most vulnerable parts. Bow before him and reveal your most vulnerable parts. We want to enter into the kingdom of heaven with our guns blazing and our chest poked out and our bravado, and saying, I'm here, God, let's make something happen. And it does not allow us access. Later on in the movie, Margot Robbie stumbles in as she's trying to escape into this same kingdom, and the apes come up. Immediately, she knows what to do. She falls down on her knees, and she reveals her most vulnerable parts in an act of submission. And in doing so, they are allowed to enter into the kingdom. I believe the whiplash of us empowering the church, and we should empower the church, but the whiplash of that is the church comes in and begins to think itself equal with God. And that is a fallacy. For me to come in, I know I'm the bride of Christ. That's an exalted position. But at the end of the day, He is Lord and He is King. And if I want to enter into this kingdom, I need to bow in His presence and expose my most vulnerable parts. Yield my most vulnerable parts. Not only do I come in with my strength, but I especially come in with my weakness. And I yield that to you. And if you want to take my life, you can take my life. But until we come in and we bow and expose ourselves, we cannot enter into His kingdom. Much of the church does church. They believe in God, but they never enter into the kingdom. There's a difference in seeing the kingdom. He talks about seeing what the things we do to see the kingdom, to enter into the kingdom. And I believe that's a roadblock for many in here. That's a roadblock for many in the church, is we want to come in, but we want to come in the wrong way. We want to come in, but we want to approach the wrong way. And I felt real strongly. The Lord spoke that to me in worship this morning. He carried me back to that movie, and He spoke that to me this morning. And He said, this is so spiritual that we are to bow before the King and reveal our most vulnerable parts and yield that to Him. And when we do that and submit in that way, then we're allowed to enter into the kingdom. Because there's never a dispute about lordship. There is never a dispute about lordship. And I think right now we have this great conflict in our lives because there's a dispute about lordship. There's a dispute about who is God, who is King, who is Lord of this kingdom. And we try to, as we empower ourselves, we try to elevate ourselves in such a position. And Lord knows, guys, I want y'all to get way past the servant mindset. I want you to progress past the friend mindset. I want you to progress past the son mindset. I want you to get that I'm the bride of Christ. But at the end of the day, He is King and He is Lord and He is on the throne, Joseph. And I, for the health of me and for my ability to enter into His kingdom, I don't ever need to forget that. Esther had access to the king, but she never forgot who was king. Esther had access to the king, but she never forgot who was king. And so that's something that we need to latch on to. We need to, some of you, as we come in a moment and we begin to re-engage for a moment and altar time and all of that stuff, that needs to be your response this morning. The Lord spoke. I really wrestle with when to release that, but that needs to be your response this morning. Is, Lord, I come and I bow before You and I reveal my most vulnerable parts. My most vulnerable parts. And you know what that is. What are my most vulnerable parts? The part that the enemy goes after, that's my vulnerable parts. The part that he tries to attack. The place he tries to come in. Our mind, our emotion, all of these things. You know, we want to bear our soul. But as we come in, we're giving Him access to this. Access to this. That's everything in here. So that needs to be our response this morning. That needs to be our response. Amen. All right, I want to, y'all turn in your Bibles very quickly to the Gospel of Matthew 13. I want to share a word. The Lord told me to release this day to you guys. Matthew 13. It's good to see everybody today. I'm glad you're here. I know we got a lot of folks out for whatever break it is. I lose count. You know, when I was in school, we had long summers, but we didn't have 15 breaks throughout the year. You know, we all go in the same number of days. I don't know which is better or which is worse, but we bless everybody that's doing their travel and trips. I hope they have an amazing time, but I'm glad that you are here. I'm glad to be in the house today. Matthew 13, starting verse 1. I think I'm going to just read the first 9 verses in this. For study's sake, we probably should go through verses 23, but I don't want to expositorily teach this today. I simply want to release a word that the Lord gave me on this. This is the parable of the sower that Jesus spoke to the people that were there, the crowds that were there. Everybody there, y'all ready to go? All right. Verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But the other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now Jesus went on and began to, I don't know why, this is a pretty simple parable, but His disciples struggled with it, and Jesus came in and said, look, this is what this is about. The seed is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, myself, it is the sower, and we're coming in and we're releasing this Word. The ground is your heart, the ground is your life. And He began to talk about the 4 different types of soil. And He said, one, He calls it by the wayside. That was if I was out here and I am sowing seed, and let's say I'm overseeding this front yard, and I come in and all the asphalt around this thing, that would be the wayside. The seed hits it, there is not a chance in anywhere that stuff's going to come up. And immediately the fowls see it and they say, hey, this is free game, they're on it. They take it out and they eat it, it doesn't have a chance. So we look at that, and that's some people in their life, they're totally, I'm not going to teach all this. We've heard many, many sermons on this. I've taught this many times through the years. But so many people, it does not matter. It's like spitting on a brick wall. It just slides down. It does not, there is no hope of it having any place of taking root. And one thing I have learned in this, and I will say this to guys, to you all, as you are trying to minister to people, just because somebody is in that place, don't give up on them. Because I have seen people in that place in this season of their life, and circumstances or whatever will cause them to come around. And the person that was resistant and that brick wall to God at that place, when something, I've seen it transform people when they get married. I've seen it transform people when they have kids. I've seen it transform people when they go through tragedy or different things like that. Whatever the case is, the person that once had the super hard heart, all of a sudden they're in a position to receive the Word. So just a word of practical wisdom to the church body is don't give up on somebody just because they're in that place. The Word also says don't cast your pearl before swine. So it may be a point where you don't continually try to sow seed on that during that time. But you don't give up on that person. You do not give up on that person. So we see this one type of soil. The next soil that we see is a very shallow soil. It is a very superficial heart. It's a superficial church. I think it would be a good picture of the American church today as a whole. That it comes in and there's good enough soil there, the Word comes out, they receive it gladly, it immediately sprouts up, but as soon as any adversity comes along, boom, they bug out, they're gone. It withers up, it dies. As farmers, we've all seen this. Very, very shallow. Very shallow. The first adversity, it withers, it dies. And I feel like that's the majority of the American church, all right? I'll speak to the American church because that's where I live. The third type of soil that we see coming in is good soil, but it's full of thorns. I think that's a good percentage of the faith church. People that, man, they are just like, dude, I love the Lord and I'm saved and all of that. But the cares of life choke it out. Right? It's not a question of how good the soil is. It's a question of what is it contending with. It's a question of what is it contending with. And it gets choked out because there are too many things that are contending with the good seed and robs it of the nutrients it needs, the space that it needs, the sunlight that it needs, the water that it needs. And so ultimately it dies as well. Then Jesus comes in and Jesus talks about the fourth type. And the fourth type of soil, he said, it's good soil. And the seed goes in and it comes up and it's rich and it's ripe and it's deep. And when the rain hits and the light hits and all of that stuff, then it produces a harvest. And some of it's 100, some of it's 60, some of it's 30. We get that. It's a pretty simple parable. It is a deep and profound parable, but it's pretty doggone simple as far as just looking at this and saying, man, I get this. The Lord spoke to me this week. I have been with the weather and all of that, I've been really getting in farming mode. You know, and I'm sitting here and I'm trying to plan for the spring and really considering timing. Because right now it's February and we're still supposed to be in wintertime. Supposed to be. Here I looked at the weather forecast next week. I think it's going to be in the 70s like every day. And I'm sitting there, you know, and my cousin puts out, you know, 10 tons of fertilizer out last week. And I'm like, oh man, that's kind of early. And because of the drought and the armyworms last year, I'm having to overseed my pastures, or I feel the need to overseed my pastures. And I'm coming in, and I'm getting a grain drill, Jeremy, and I'm putting out fescue and orchard grass. And I'm overseeding this and all of that. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm really weighing my timing. And I call the people up, and I'm like, hey, man, this is what I'm wanting to do. I'm like, when are most guys putting this out? You know, and you know, the girl on the other end, and that's kind of humbling for a guy on a farm and all that to talk about, you know, a farming aspect. And some chicks on the other end of the phone say, well, this is what I would do and all of this stuff. And I'm like, all right, girl, I'll listen to you because I know who it is on the other end. She's sharp. I'm not talking about she's sharp knowing her stuff. And she said, my fear on that is if you put it out and it comes up and it gets real cold and it freezes, it kills all this hundreds of dollars that you put out. She said, you know, my opinion, of course you don't know what the spring, my opinion, let's wait till March. That you're getting out of this danger zone. And so I got all this going through my mind. When do I overseed? When do I put out fertilizer? When do I do all of this stuff? And the Lord starts speaking to me and He says, what is the thing that you are, that is necessary in all of this? What is the thing that you are waiting on? And I'm like, the soil temperature. It's not necessarily what month it is. It's what's the soil temperature. A couple years ago, Courtney and I were planting soybeans, and what was the thing that we were looking at when we were determining when to put it out, Courtney? Soil temperature. It had to reach 60-something degrees, constant soil temperature, or nothing would come up. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. Y'all ready for this? This is good. The Lord spoke to me and He said, we have been focusing on the soil type. He said, but it does not matter what the soil type is if the soil is too cold. It does not matter if it's byway. It doesn't matter if it's shallow soil. It does not matter if it's soil full of thorns or if it's good soil. If the temperature of the soil is not warm enough, no seed will germinate. And the Lord told me, He said, I look out on a church, not just Victory, but I look out on a church, and He said, the biggest issue I see is not necessarily the soil type, but the biggest issue I see in getting my bride ready. Listen to me. I'm not talking about reaching the nation. In getting the bride ready, the biggest issue that I see is soil temperature. Because if I'm in here and my soil temperature is 50 degrees, I might as well be byway. Because no seed's going to germinate. And we come in and we take pride, man, I'm good soil, I'm good soil, I'm good soil. But what's your temperature? What's your temperature? What's your temperature? You can be the darkest, richest, most awesome soil. I can go to states, I'm amazed at Wisconsin and how this the soil is just black. And all of this is, you know, the dairy farms and all of this, and you see it turned over, you know, when they get ready to plant and all that. And it can be the most fertile soil on the planet. But if the temperature is not conducive to something sprouting and growing, it cannot germinate and will not live. So the word for the Lord for us this morning, on top of these other two words He gave us, I guess the third word for us this morning, is what is your soil temperature? Because you can be amazing soil, but if your temperature is not right. And I've been there, guys. I've been good soil since 1986. Shoot, I've been good soil for my whole life. In a sense. You know what I'm saying? God knew me before the foundations of the earth. There was stuff that was there and in play even before I accepted Him. After I accepted Him, it really got to where it was potential for great soil. But there have been seasons in my life, and I don't like seasons, but there have been seasons, I like physical seasons. I don't like spiritual seasons. But there have been seasons in my life, the soil was good, but it wasn't warm enough to germinate anything. I was cold and indifferent, and it was through maybe through a myriad of things. It might be through pain. It might be through frustration. It might be through hurt. It might be through disappointment. It might be through you filling the blank for your life. And the bottom line is it reduced the temperature of the soil to the point that seed would not germinate. And me trying to be a good earthly farmer, I'm not putting seed out that I don't feel like has a chance to germinate. And we want God to blow up in our lives. We want God to blow up in our families' lives. And the thing that will kick this off is when the temperature reaches a certain point and He says, now I can insert seed. Our job as a body is to create a climate and a culture here that is warm enough for seed to germinate. And when we do that on a consistent basis, not just a good son, not this, but when we do that on a consistent basis, you know what the Father will do? He'll insert seed. He'll insert seed. You want Him to blow up in your family's life? Create an atmosphere. Create a culture that is consistent in temperature. And when you do that, God will then insert seed. He gets farming. He talks about it all the time in the Bible. He was dealing with agrarian people, and He talks about agrarian things constantly. He understands this better than any of us. And I really feel like the Lord's saying, that is the thing. You want God to lead you and direct you and take your path moving forward? Then create a life, create an atmosphere that the soil temperature is high enough to germinate things. And whatever you need to do that. A lot of times we will wait until nature takes its course. And we'll sit here and we'll say, man, I'm just waiting until things turn around. I'm waiting to get through this season. I'm waiting till things get better and all that. You know what my brother right here is doing? He's building a greenhouse right now. You know what he's saying? He said, I am going to speed up the process. Something that is in the future, I'm going to cause it to happen right now because I'm creating a greenhouse effect. Right? Isn't that what you're doing? You're wanting to extend your growing season. You're wanting your growing season to start sooner. You're wanting to be able to put seed in the ground in December so that it'll come up in whenever. You want tomatoes not in June. You want tomatoes in April. That's why you're doing a greenhouse. What would happen in our lives if we did the same thing spiritually? Well, we came in and we said, I am so hungry for a harvest. Or maybe it's something that you want to do, something that you're passionate about, but also you're thinking, hey, I can make a profit off this too, right? I want to tell you something, guys. By entering into His kingdom, you know what? It's profitable for my family. It's profitable for my family. By me entering into His kingdom, it is profitable for her. By Poppy being consistent and faithful and a temperature where God's seed will germinate in his life, you know what it does? It brings a harvest into her life. So I look at this and I say, man, not only is this something that's stirring in here, but this is something that I see as extremely, extremely, extremely beneficial. Extremely beneficial. It brings us into His kingdom. And if I can get there quicker by creating a greenhouse, then I'll do what it takes to build a greenhouse. How'd you learn how to build a greenhouse? I bet you talk to people. Trial and that's not bad. You know how Samuel learned to talk to God? Eli said, next time he wakes you up in your sleep, go in there and ask him what he wants. You know what that is? Trial and error. Y'all know the story? Samuel's a young kid. He's living in the temple with Eli. He comes in and he's here and he thinks it's Eli like three different times. He's like, hey man, what do you want? And he said, man, I don't want nothing to go back there. Finally, the light bulb clicks on with Eli and he said, man, God's talking to this kid. He said, next time he does it, go ask him what he wants. Guys, this ain't rocket science. We're talking about hearing the voice of God and God speaking to us and all of that stuff. You know, and so Sidney Hanna's response to Lori is what was it? So that's what that is? I was wondering who that was. That's my 6-year-old. I was wondering who that was. It's Holy Spirit. Ask him what he wants. Trial and error. If you're like me, you probably YouTube some stuff. You probably asked some people that have had greenhouses. You've connected with some people that have had greenhouses. We're about to enter into some new stuff that we're wanting to do. I'm getting some sheep and some of that stuff. I don't know nothing about that. I know about cows and a little bit about horses. I don't know nothing about that stuff. You know what I do? I'll start talking to people that have been there and done that, and they got there and they've been successful in raising that. People that have a soil temperature that is warm enough to produce. So let's create a hot house, Brother Clay. Let's create that hot house for our children, for our grandchildren, for the visitors that come in here, for people that come in here indifferent, but all of a sudden there's seed. It's winter outside, but there's seed that's growing in here, and it's sprouting in here. And I'm not talking about hybrid stuff, guys. Well, I'll just grow winter. I'm not talking about hybrid stuff. I'm talking about things that are in season, but we're coming in and we're bringing that season ahead. So let's do that and let's create that. Get past. Here's the thing. I think this is the thing that trips a lot of us up. Get past of sitting here and trying to figure out whether I'm good soil or I'm bad soil. Because if you're not the right temperature, none of that matters. But if you're the right temperature, then we'll see God can work in on the soil type. I just feel like that's what he's saying to us today. Shane, what temperature are you right now? Not necessarily a question, are you good soil or bad soil or mixed soil? I could come in and I could talk about plucking the weeds out of your life, brother, and getting the rocks out and all of that stuff and everything. But if you're still 48 degrees, none of that matters. So let's press in. Let's bow before the King and reveal our most vulnerable parts so that He can come in and allow us to enter into the kingdom. And when we do that and we position it, then stuff starts growing. And our life has changed, and the people around us are changed, and culture has changed. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Worship team, y'all come on back up. Y'all ain't never heard me preach that short, especially with three words. I got three today. Quick. Linda, y'all play that song, y'all were, yeah. Twofold on altar call this morning. Twofold on altar call. You're desiring to enter into His kingdom. What's your posture? What's my posture, Matt? I like Samuel Jackson, and I got my gun, and I'm going to protect myself. Or I'm going to come in like this, and... Or is it, I'm going to bow before Him, and I'm going to expose my most vulnerable parts. That's the key to it, is exposing our most vulnerable parts. And when we do that, and we yield to His Lordship, you know what the result of that is? We enter into the kingdom. We have access to the kingdom. We have access to the protection of the kingdom. All of the blessings of the kingdom when we enter in that way. So maybe that needs to be your response this morning. Maybe you've been doing that. You've got that part down. But your soil temperature is not where it needs to be. Maybe we need to check ourselves on that. I've been there. I've been good soil, but just too cold. Good soil, but too cold. Pray to God I'd be in a place of germination. Maybe you need to come in and you need strategy for a hothouse. You say, man, I want to build a greenhouse. Say, God, give me strategy for that. Because He's not just building a greenhouse for Himself. He's building a greenhouse for His family. He's building a greenhouse for community. So maybe that needs to be how you move. But whatever it is, don't stiffen and walk away. Respond to Him. Father, we come to You and we thank You for today. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your written Word, but I thank You for Your spoken Word. And I pray that we would respond to each of these. We would respond to each of these in our life as appropriately needed. Stir and move. And let us just say yes to You, whatever that looks like. In Jesus' name I ask this. If you need to come, come on down this morning. If you need to come, come on down this morning.